There is something called wooing the presence of God. When you woo a person, you are chasing after a person. Like when a man is trying to woo a woman to marry her, you can perceive the Lord. And that's one of the objectives of gaze. You have to soak into God. But when I was, you know, there are some things we will not necessarily want to teach, but that is how we flow. So I want to do a very important teaching that if you're not careful, you may think it's motivation, but it's not. It's a very, very important teaching for your lives, whether you're young or old. I will teach that and we'll close. Amen. You know, when you are praying and worshiping, you cannot really tell when you make the transition, but you know that something happened, right? So I want to talk about how to come out of being stuck. Write everything you can, but there is not any sign of progress. I don't know if you get me. That's what it means. When you feel like I'm stuck, it's a feeling that can be very overwhelming and frustrating. When you've applied to jobs and applied, and every time your phone beeps, you go to check to see if one has responded, and they are not responding. See, let me tell you something. I know firsthand what it means to feel stuck. At least in a small way to some people, because some people's own is more than my own. It's a real thing. I remember when I finished youth service in 2016. You know, when you finish national youth service, that is when you are done with the university and you finish national youth service, on the youth service camp, they will put many things in your head that if you get a certification, you will get a job. If you do like this, they will tell you so many things. And then you come out. You pack all those certifications. You know it firsthand. You start applying. Okay, you will know what I'm talking about. You start applying. So people don't worry. Everybody has experienced being stuck in different ways. There's a way you will write jump. I remember going to write jump, and one guy showed up, and the examiners were hailing him. Ah, you did again? Ah, guy, welcome. Like, they know him. Like, you have been writing jam. Even jam knows you. You are stuck. That's not your portion in Jesus' name. That's not the portion of our children in Jesus' name. There are somewhere it looks like you don't even have, it seems like you don't even have what it takes to write jump. Everybody has felt being stuck. At a point in my life, I didn't believe. It didn't look like I would be able to go to university. It didn't look like it. It's a state where you feel like you are just helpless. Like you don't even have power to change what is confronting you. Am I talking to you? And yours may not fall into the category of what we talked about just now. The examples you gave, it may not fall into that category. Some people's own is not like they are done with school long time. They are done with all of this. But they are just at a point in their lives. It's not career that's their problem. It's not job that's their problem. They are just at the point in their lives where it looks like, where am I going from here? Are you getting me? How do you come out of that? First of all, I want you to know that even though being stuck or feeling stuck can be a bad thing, or it's not something to be happy about, it's a good sign. It's a good sign that you have come to the end of a season in your life. Are you with me? It's also a good sign that you are alert. It means that your perception is alert to be able to pick that you have come to the end of this phase. You are not supposed to stay on this place again. You know, some people, they don't see any need for change. Oh my God. They've gotten to the point where they are not even desirous about anything change. They are happy the way they are. Have you seen people like that? There is so much mediocrity around them, and they are comfortable like that. I just pray someone wrong misunderstand this example. I remember the secondary school I attended. In fact, the secondary school and the primary school I attended, I passed there some weeks ago. And guess what? I saw three shops that made me shed tears. There was one shop we bought We used to buy in primary five, that shop. I used to go there and buy donuts, puff puff, and egg roll. Guess what? It is more than 20 years since I left primary school. I went there. They are still selling donuts, puff puff, egg roll, and it's the same man. Now, the shop has not increased. It's nothing different from what it was 20 years ago. The same shop, the same paints on the wall. The same way the cement was. The only difference is that his belly is bigger. And guess what? When I passed there, you know what I saw him doing? Playing Ludo. Like, I go, chop your own. Chop your own. You won't buy donuts. He can't even remember I was the boy that bought donuts from him 20 years ago. Some people, they are okay. They don't see the need for any kind of progress. They don't see the need. Refuse to be like that. Say after me, I reject mediocrity. Say after me, I reject mediocrity. I reject failure. I reject stagnation. The Bible says the path of the just is like a shining light that shines more and more. Are you with me? It shines brighter and brighter onto the perfect day. That is your story. Amen. I said that is your story. Amen. Then I saw the tailor that used to sew my school uniform still there. That shop is just like this. Just like this. Still there. Same shop. Same machine. They are just patches. You can see the machine has been bad. The patches. Same man. Same shop. Same machine. You know, I pretended like I cannot remember him because he obviously cannot remember me. So I pretended, you know, there are some things you see and you're like, God. See, after me, I believe in progress. So when you are feeling stuck, it's proof that you are alert. It's a good thing. It's proof also that you've come to the end of a season. That you can know that you've come to the end of a phase in your life. Because you see, when a baby chick wants to come out of its shell, as long as the chick has not grown, it will feel comfortable inside the shell. But once it begins to grow and its body begins to touch the edges of the shell, that's the sign that, man, it's time to get out of here. Are you with me? It's time to get out. Tell your neighbor, it's time to get out. It's time to break out. Glory. You know what I'm doing to you? You know, Paul said, when you read my epistle, you will understand my soonnesses in the gospel. You will understand my way of reasoning. I'm giving you a type of reasoning that I have. Say after me, I believe in progress. And let me tell you something. Progress will not happen naturally. Oh, yes. It will not happen naturally. That is why God wants you to sense that there is something wrong and make a change. Even in your spiritual journey, there must be progress. After 10 years of knowing and growing in the Lord, you should not be praying 5 minutes and say, I don't tire. Every year, something new should be added. You should know more in the Lord. You should grow more in the Lord. Praise the Lord. So Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. Deuteronomy 2, verse 2 to 3. And the Lord spake unto me, ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. And that's God's prophetic word to somebody. You have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. It's time for more. It's time for more. So how do you come out of being stuck? Number one, choose to be grateful and thankful. You must choose to be grateful and thankful. Philippians chapter 4 from verse 11. Paul speaking to the Philippian church, he says, not that I speak of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. It is true you want a change, but be grateful for what you have seen. It is true you want more, but be grateful for the progress you've made thus far. You know, I usually tell somebody that your life is proof that God has not given up on you. Yes. That you are breathing is God's testimony to you that he has not given up on you. Sometimes some people, their own being stuck is stuck to some addiction or some habits. That you have not died is that God is saying, I still have a plan for you. Praise the Lord. Be grateful. You know, let me tell you something. Being grateful helps you see properly to make the best of what you have. Because when you are not grateful, you cannot even see that what you have is still something. It may look like nothing to you, but it's something. If somebody else has what you have, they will be grateful. Also, being grateful helps you to calm down, to be able to see clearly. It helps you to calm down. Because many times, when people are feeling stuck, let me give you a good example. Have you ever tried to use a needle and thread? And at some point, it looked like the needle and thread became so intertwined with each other, it was difficult to separate it. Then maybe you just calmed down and looked at this thing closely. You now found out that if you just draw one place properly, everything comes out. But if you're just, no, what's wrong with this thing? You may have to just cut the thread, throw it away, and start afresh. So, be grateful. It helps you calm down to see clearly. Remember the parable of the talent in Matthew chapter 25, the one that was given one talent. Instead of him to be thankful for the one talent he had, he said, Master, I knew. He told his Lord. He said, I knew you were a hard man. And you don't reap where you sow, or you don't sow where you reap. Reaping where that has not sown. He was cursing the master. And the master said, you know what? Take that one which he has from him. And the Bible now says, to him that hath shall more be given. And to him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. So why did he say to him that hath not? Meaning, there are people that claim they don't have, but they have something. And when you despise that one you have, God is saying they will take that one from you. Are you getting me? Say after me, thank you, Jesus. I may not have seen all the progress I need to see, but I'm grateful for the progress I have seen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. 2 Timothy 3 verse 2, still on this point. He says, in the last days, let me read 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. He was talking about the signs of the end time. He says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, disobedient to parents, unthankful. When I saw this verse, it got me thinking. Unthankful is part of the signs of the end time. It's part of the signs of perilous times. When you get to the point in your life where it seems like nothing makes sense to you, you are under the spirit of the end time. You cannot be grateful for anything. The children of Israel, God gave them manna from heaven. You know what? If God gave them bread, correct bread and sardine from heaven. You know what they said? What is this? Manna means what is this? Like in local parlance, waiting be this one. Say after me, thank you, Jesus. Number two, you need to realize that it may be late or you may have lost time, but it is not too late. Let me tell you, at every time where you feel stuck, you have two options. You either have the option of wallowing in self-pity and giving up, or telling yourself, I can do something about this. Are you with me? I can do something. You either sink or you swim. You either sink or you swim. Refuse to sink. I'm telling you. Refuse to sink. Because let me, Satan, he will make you look like there is no other way. Just give up. Just allow yourself to drown. Refuse to drown. I will swim out of it. Let me tell you something. Resilience is an important character to fulfill your destiny. Resilience. You know, God told Esau through his father, Isaac. Now, Esau and Jacob were trying to get the blessing. Jacob came and collected all the blessings from his brother Esau. And Esau cried to his father, Father, is there not even one blessing for me? He said, no. I have sustained your brother with corn and wine. He has received the blessing. Then Isaac told Esau, but when thou shalt have the dominion, thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. People don't read it in the Bible. It's there. Genesis 27. It's there. Isaac told Esau that a time will come, you will have the dominion and you will be able to break his yoke from off thy neck. See, let me tell you something. Maybe you are here listening to me, and sometimes it looks like some people are already gone ahead of you. Let me tell you, one of the problems that make people feel stuck also is that you look at all your mates, and it's like everybody has gone. They have gapped you. Are you following what I'm saying? They have gapped you with light years away. And you're looking at your own self like, what's left of me? Listen, life is not the way you think. See, Isaac told his son Esau, he says, and by thy sword thou shalt live, and thou shalt save thy brother. And it shall come to pass. When thou shalt have the dominion, thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. If you study this story till chapter 33, you will discover that 20 years later, Esau was richer than Jacob. Esau was richer than Jacob. That was why Jacob was scared. Because Jacob thought that when he meets Esau, Esau will kill him. Because he heard that Esau has become a mighty man. And he had 400 soldiers with him. I don't want to open all the scriptures. Eventually, was there any day Esau served under Jacob? It never happened. So sometimes, that comparison you are making, you don't know what your future looks like. If you allow yourself to wallow in self-pity, you will not see what you need to do to go up. You will keep comparing yourself with the person who has gone up already or who has gapped you already. Your paths are different. Except my path is different. He says, that yoke you think you are holding, you will break it off. So eventually, when you read Genesis 33, when Jacob met Esau, Jacob prostrated flat on the ground. So what was the content of the blessing? The actual content of the blessing that Isaac received, it was that through his lineage, the Messiah will come. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Do you remember Moses? Moses in the Bible. See, Moses is the biggest encouragement anybody can ever have. Moses. Moses, the story of Moses in the Bible has encouraged me the most. Do you know what it means that you were 40 years old when supernaturally you had a pull to go and rescue your brethren? So as at 40 years old, Moses was already a prince of Egypt. He was treated like Pharaoh's son. Are you getting what I'm saying? He was in the palace. 40 years old, he lived all his life in the palace. He was a prince of Egypt. He was a leader in Egypt. And then he saw his brothers. Obviously, God was the one moving him. But maybe he didn't prosecute it well. He went and killed somebody thinking that the Israelites would understand that through him, God would free the Israelites. I believe Moses had a plan. The plan was that if I start this thing, the Israelites will back me up and we can begin a move in Egypt. So from the palace of Egypt, God, Moses believed that would have been the way. But guess what? It failed. And he ran away. Has there been some times where you felt like you got a divine idea? You seem like you got something, and if I just do this business, if I just do this thing, and you tried it and everything, bam, everything just failed. This connection that you got, it looks divine. God brought me to meet this person. I met this person. God must be the one working this thing out. And halfway into the relationship or the connection, everything just everything went AY. And you have to just pretend like nothing ever happened. And Moses ran away, ran into the wilderness, ran far away from Egypt as though he never had a call from God. And guess what? 40 years later, Moses was carrying his stick, taking care of sheep, and God appears in the burning bush. See, that's enough message for me. God did not forget. God did not forget and say, I'll use another person. You see all this preaching we used to do, that God has replaced you, God has replaced you. We have to be careful that God will just toss away somebody, throw away somebody. God did not forget. 40 years later, I believe Moses had given up. Moses had so closed that part of his life. He had married. He had children. He was content. Maybe you are here hearing me, and you have gotten to the point where you have already given up. You are not even trying again. It's not like you are believing God again. You are not trying. You are just, I'm fine. I'm good. No need to stress myself. Moses had got to that point. He had forgotten about all those things. Let me just be taking care of sheep. At least I'm not dead. I'm eating food. In the morning, I take care of sheep. I feed them. We come back. And God shows up again. That means it is not too late for anybody. It is not too late for anybody. That great destiny that God gave to Moses, he didn't achieve it at the age of 30. All this one we are saying, if you are not in this by 30, are you the owner of time? He didn't achieve that great destiny by 40. He didn't achieve it by 50, 60, 70, 75, 78. 80, God shows up and says, let's go. Let's move. Listen, God has not forgotten you. Number three, and this is very important. Discern the will of God for your life at every moment. Now, the first 2 points is important to put your heart in the right state for the third one. Discern the will of God for your life at every moment. Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 15 to 19. It says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." So he's saying that if you walk as wise, you will redeem the time because the days are evil. So now, if you can receive wisdom, you can buy back time. That's what he's saying. If you can receive wisdom, you can buy back time. It says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Then in verse 17, he reemphasizes the same point. He says, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So, if you understand what the will of the Lord is, you'll be wise. Are you with me? And if you are wise, you'll be able to redeem the time. And redeem time means you will buy back time. You'll be able to retrieve time. No matter how much time you have lost, if you can discern God's will for you and walk in it, you can buy back time. Are you following me? No matter how much, let me say that again. No matter how much time you feel you have lost, no matter how much time and no matter how much stuff you think you have lost, if you can discern God's will and flow with God's will, you will buy back time. You'll be able to retrieve time. You'll be able to gain time. For instance, let's look at Joseph in the Bible. Now, Joseph was in prison. We don't know how long, but you can calculate it was more than 5 years. Because Joseph left his father's house when he was 17 years old. They sold him at 17. And he was brought out of the prison when he was 30. So, we cannot just assume that immediately he went to Potiphar's house, that's what happened. He was thrown into prison. So, but we can assume that he was there for 5 years. At least 5 years. How do I know? You know, the Bible says that when he interpreted the dream for one of the people in the prison, he told him, "Remember me." And the Bible says for the space of 2 years, he was forgotten. Only God knows how long he was there. Now, just think about it. Imagine Joseph had a way of escaping. And he escaped. And left the prison. And found a way to not just go back to Potiphar's house. Then escaped also from Potiphar's house and went back to Canaan. And went to meet his father and said, "Dad, I'm back. Nobody can stop me." Nobody can stop Reggie. "I'm back." And they'll be just dancing everywhere. "Are you serious?" And they will catch the brothers, you know. And you'll be excited that, you see, what the devil meant for evil. "I have come out." And all that. Do you know that even though it looked like he made progress, he went backward? Oh my God. It would have been looking to everybody that he was making progress, because eventually you were in prison. Now you're out of prison. You are back to your family. You can continue your life the way your life was. But in God's own program, he went backward. Because now, he wouldn't have known that he lost something. Joseph would not have known that he was scheduled to be a prime minister. He did not know. It was the prison. Guess what? It was the prison that made him meet the person that recommended him to Pharaoh. That prison. So now, when it looks like you are stuck, like Joseph was stuck in the prison, what if he escaped the day the other prisoner was being brought in? Are you following me? So you will need to learn to pray prayers like this. "Lord, what is your will for me?" I'm sure if you have been following this ministry for a while, you see this divine direction. We dey pray almost every day. "Lord, divine direction. Lord, we receive divine direction." Because, your life is too detailed. And your mind is too small to give all the turns and twists to it. There are so many contours inside. So after me, I walk in divine direction. "Lord, I know your will. You reveal your will to me. And I know your will. And I walk in it. Lord," say after me, "Lord, by your mercy, by your wisdom, by your divine coincidence, order my steps. Order my steps to my destiny. Order my steps forward." Amen. You learn to pray prayers like this. It's so important. I've said it here again. How can it be that there was somebody I preached to in 2008 in secondary school? That was the person that was responsible for the hall that Lagos Church is using. How is it possible? I preached to somebody in 2008. And in 2020, the person heard that Pastor David wants to start a church in Lagos. And said, we have a property at Agege, we must give him. So now, what if God was moving me to preach? And I said, how would they look at me? Suffer me in the name of Jesus. By the mercy of God. By the wisdom of God. Divine providence takes over my life. Amen. Let me tell you something. When you pray kind of prayers, God heard. And you start seeing some things will happen. Number four, find out the natural things you must be doing at that point. So at that point when you feel like you are stuck and you are not moving forward, what natural thing must I be doing? What must I be doing now? Acts chapter 3 from verse 19. There are natural things and there are supernatural things. So I'll talk about the natural one first. Talk about the supernatural one. And then we'll move on to the last point. Acts chapter 3 verse 19. Read 1, 2, 3, go. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now, the context of this is salvation and the work of the Holy Spirit in salvation. Are you with me? But you see, truths are parallel. And so, when you see a truth in salvation, it also applies in day-to-day life, in charismatic oppression. I don't know if you know what I'm trying to say. Let me explain. So now, he's telling you that repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. I will start from the ending part. He says, the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. It means that God is the one that orchestrates times and seasons for people. Listen to what I'm saying carefully. So, from the throne room of God, not all times are the same. From the throne room of God, there can be a time of progress. Have you not noticed there are some times in your life there is just money flowing everywhere? There are some times, 5 years, things are just happening. And some other times, where is the money? You're like, what is happening? Not all times are the same. So he's telling you that even though there is dryness, even though that it looks like sometimes that there is drought, God can send a new time of refreshing. You can see somebody struggling, hustling. And all of a sudden, God just opens a new season. And you know, I was in Abuja. I was talking to one of my mentors, one of Bishop Kai's sons. And he was telling me the testimonies happening in his life, the breakthroughs he has received, the kind of contracts, open doors he has gotten. Then he told me something. He said, David, can I shock you? I've been working for 16 years. He said, all of these testimonies, all of these open doors that is happening started 4 years ago. I said, what was happening in the past 12 years? He said, I was struggling. He said, but I was not just struggling, I was also preparing. Because you see, a season can change. God. A new door can just swing open and meet you unprepared. So that's what you are saying in this place. He's saying, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins will be blotted out when this time shall come. So if you are not converted, the time can come, but it will meet an old version of you. It will meet the version of you that is not ready for that door. So he's saying that for you to take advantage of a new door or a new season, you must become a different person. You must be converted. You must convert from your old nature, from your old version to a new version. Did you get what I just said? I tell you that the version of Joseph that left his father's house was not the version of Joseph that stood before Pharaoh. Are you with me? The process he went through in Potiphar's house and in the prison made him the version ready. Praise the Lord. So now, you have to start asking yourself, what must I do now? Some of you, you need to start reading. I know you are not doing the kind of job you expect, but you see yourself, where do I want to be in the nearest 5 years, in the next 10 years? What do I see in my future? It has not happened though. Start reading. Start preparing. Start training yourself. Are you hearing me? Start preparing yourself. So all the time you are saying, my life is delaying, my life is delaying, you can learn a skill. You can learn 2 skills. Are you with me? I know a man that as at 25, he has not seen the 4 walls of a school. 25 years old, he cannot read, he cannot write. Nothing! Guess what he did? He went to a bookstore and said, you feel help me? He said, I no fit write, I no fit read. And bought a dictionary and taught himself how to read. It took him 10 years old. A long time he was reading the dictionary. He taught himself. He would go and meet people. Pronounce this one for me. Like that. And taught himself how to read, write. Today, he's in his 60s. He's one of the richest men in America. He started from when he said, but scratch. That means, listen, there's hope for you. There's hope for you. Tell me there's hope for me. Some of you, you may not know what you need to do. So you have to pray. So you be like, Pastor said I should read. Pastor, what will I really do? Pray, God, open my eyes. What do I need to do? A close friend of mine, read computer science, applying for jobs, did not get job. When he finally got a job with MTN, one day he came for prayer and fasting. As we're all praying and fasting, he's as if somebody pressed something inside his head. He couldn't take it out of his head. Go and start making shoes. It's like, I don't have any idea of making shoes. Where will I start from to make shoes? So he kept asking, you ask shoemakers, okay, get leather from this place in Nigeria, get like this, this is how we combine it. And from scratch, in his father's house, started doing shoe business. If I mention his name, some of you may know him. Started doing shoe business. He will snap it and send to me as a man of God. See me, oh. You will see, computer science graduate has turned to shoemaker. Today, he's exporting his shoes. It's almost 10 years, but he's exporting his shoes. What must I be doing now? Some of you, there are just little changes you need to make. Okay, I can do this, I can do that. So you pray, what steps must I take? Don't just let time while away. You can learn, you can reinvent, you can learn something new. Are you with me? Don't say computer not be my thing, no. Computer not be my your computer is your thing, you can learn it. Somebody's laughing. It's your thing, you will learn it. Amen? That's the natural thing, that's the natural side. The supernatural side is one of the ways to prepare for God's lifting spiritually is to make yourself committed to the work of God. I call it prophetic purpose. When God knows that he has a man, that if he lifts this man will do his will. This man will ensure that the gospel of Jesus Christ spreads. Are you with me? So for instance, Genesis chapter 18 verse 17. Genesis 18 verse 17. Let me tell you something here. For many people, this is the problem. It's not like they don't have the skills. It's just that God knows some people. Their heart is far. I was going to teach on matters of the heart today, leadings and dealings of God, but there's no time. What we did in the morning was more important. Praise the Lord. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. So as at this time, Abraham was not a great and mighty nation. Are you with me? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him. Everybody read verse 19. For I know him. Read this thing with a stronger voice. 1, 2, 3, go. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which has spoken. So, God was going to make Abraham great because God was sure that he would do something in the future. So, look at Esther may have thought that she was just picked up because she was a fine girl or because she was a Jew. But God knew that if I put Esther there, a time will come when Esther will be willing to risk her life for my purpose. Are you with me? So, you see this attitude where you see somebody always finding the nearest door to jump out and run away from the responsibility of God. You are doing yourself. Because God may want to take you to some places and give you some levels of promotion and levels of increase. And he'll be like, if I put this person there, what will happen? He says, I know him. He will command his. I know him. You know, that phrase, I know him, used to get to me. I said, God, what do you know about me? That's what we say, I know him. Ah, we put him there. You know, some days ago, I was in a meeting, a technical engineering meeting with some of the big, with a very, very senior engineer in this state. I mean, someone that you cannot talk about LED screens, lights, a lot of engineering regarding media. The number one person in the South Nigeria. I knew what he told me. He said, should I say this on the mic? He said, too many Christians have disappointed me. So when he was talking about Christians, I thought he was just maybe churchgoers. He said, he now said, too many pastors have disappointed me. I said, why do you say so, sir? He said, we are doing a contract job. Because a pastor wants to steal money from a general overseer, he will use jazz. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because of the love of money, somebody wants to jazz his geo. Hey, Jesus Christ. And he says, me that's not even a serious believer. He was telling me that's not a serious believer. I've been wondering, but you are a pastor. Now, put that guy in government. He said, he was telling me, don't claim you can trust anybody until you can trust the person with money. He said, and large amounts of money. He was telling me, how can a budget of 12 billion naira, it's a very big church, I won't mention the name, how can a budget of 12 billion naira, you, the pastor, we are all speaking in tongues together, you added 8 billion on top to steal from your church? Some of us say, I know him. I know him. Some people, little increase, little like this. Eh? That was the thing the Lord was talking to me about early this morning. He said, never lose your humility. Never lose your sincerity. And never lose your purity. Let me say it again. Never lose your humility. Never lose your sincerity. And never lose your purity. So, God is watching. See, there is a God that sees in secret. David was committed to sheep. I don't think he ever dreamt about being a king. But right from the palace, God said, go to the house of Jesse. You are not too hidden for God. Did you hear what I just said? And wherever we have made mistakes, Lord will receive mercy. Finally, and so, still on that prophetic purpose, make up your mind that you are going to take a stand for Jesus. You'll be serious about the gospel. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of his righteousness. And all these things that the Gentiles seek shall be added unto you. Now that you are not a big time whatever, be committed to the house of God. Now that you have all the time on your hands, that big thing has not opened for you, be committed. And finally, contend for the next phase of your life in prayer. Because if you have everything we talked about, there are some doors that will only open by prayer. Remember when Peter was arrested and he was kept in the prison in Acts chapter 12. Let's look at it quickly. Acts chapter 12 from verse 1. It says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. Verse 2, and he killed James, brother of John, with the sword. Verse 3, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. Verse 4, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers, meaning 16 soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer. Peter was kept in prison, but prayer. Because you see, you are reading Peter was kept in prison. Do you know that human, some people, their issue is not that they are not talented. It's not like they don't have the skill. It's not like they don't have the character. It is that the devil has put some people in prison. Are you getting me? So, and they are there and they can't understand why anything I'm doing is not working. I'm trying here, nothing. I'm trying. Look at Peter was kept in prison with 16 soldiers. There was no way he would escape. Spiritually, this happens to people sometimes. I remember one time some years ago, I was praying for somebody and I saw chains on his leg. Jesus. It was as though it was real, but it was so real, I had to open my eyes very well. And in the spirit, I was seeing it there. Chains. But you are free to fly. Amen. You should say a louder amen. Amen. But Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. This kind of prayer, this is where we got stretched prayers from. It comes to a point in your life where you tell yourself, I must shift now. Are you getting me? There must be a change now. This year, say for me, this year, there must be a change. I want you to say with a loud voice, this year, there must be a change. Amen. But prayer was made without ceasing. So there was no, we are closing now. It was chain. When this set finished, another set is coming. Barata kapalia, eria zapa, o kambala basukapa, ikarabaseta. They were praying. Verse 6. Only God knows how many days that was. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. Are you seeing being stuck there now? And the keepers before the door kept the prison. Verse 7, everybody. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, rise up quickly. And his chains fell from his hands. Hey, that means there was a level of intensity in the spirit. They did not try to break the chains. Ay, 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 ay. New breed, can I tell you something? It's time for intensity. I want us to raise an inferno that when we are praying, people should have seen what is happening. That kind of prayer you are saying, we must break out. That's why we are doing midnight encounters. Every night, rakapa. You know, sometimes I feel to being a member of this church is not easy. If you are going to be a committed member of New Breed, you will pray. And it's not like you cannot miss it. Though. You can decide that you will not be a committed member. Nobody will kill you. That's the truth. Nobody will say you must attend all the prayer meetings. But if you attend all the prayer meetings online that we have every day, you pray by 6 a.m., 6 to 6:30. You pray by 9 p.m. You pray by 12 midnight. That is not your own service unit prayer. Oh. You are praying ratata. You have not seen a change. You continue praying. See, we need to learn something in the church which I call spine. Spine. When you are doing that kind of thing, you don't have time for Satan. You see, all these ones say Christians are falling into sin. They have plenty of time. I was listening to Bishop Francis Wali. Okay, he said in the 90s, there was an attack that came on him. And his family and his ministry, it looked like everything about him was going to scatter. He didn't give the details, but he said there was an attack, that a challenge that he faced. It looked like everything about him, his life, his ministry, and his family was going to disintegrate. So he began to pray every night. Every night we pray in tongues from 11 to like 1, 2. He said he will pray and pray and pray and pray. When he's tired, he will go and sleep. He will wake up the second night. Nothing changed. Third night, nothing changed. Fourth night, nothing changed. Guess what? Every night, 50 nights, nothing changed. 100 nights, nothing changed. How many of you saw that video where Papa Adeboye said he fasted for 40 days, 3 times in 1 year? And the challenge did not still go. Then he said, I will not. Then his wife was joining him to fast. Then he told his wife, I'm going to break this fast so that you will not die. Then suddenly something happened and everything shifted. He said he was praying like that. 150 nights, nothing has changed. And he was still there. You know the problem? When people don't see change immediately, they think nothing is happening. No. Something is happening. For instance, our mothers in the house, did you wake up one night and you see your child? Just grow. You were feeding your child every day. And you woke up one morning. You were with the child in the household. You woke up and said, you are like this. Now you are like this. What is going on? 2 years later, you wake up and the child is not competing with you. A time comes, he's rubbing shoulder with you. They ask you, when did the child grow? You cannot say. In the same way, as a believer, you have to keep on sowing to the Spirit consistently. Are you with me? When you have not seen the change, you are praying. Asara batakumaya, elamambrada batakasute, ikapa, elabranda baya. In the name of Jesus, a way is made. All the chains are broken. I make progress in the name of Jesus. Are you with me? All doors are opened. I decree in the name of Jesus. All doors are opened. They are opened. They are opened. But you come out the next day, the padlock is very strong. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But you keep on. The chains fell from his hands. Now, read on. And the angel said unto him, get thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him. And he wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but he thought he saw a vision. I pray for you. The next miracle that will happen in your life, it will be like you are dreaming. And you will experience it very shortly. It will be like you are dreaming. In the name of Jesus. He says, he thought he was seeing a vision. Some of you, when you will get married, you will think you are seeing a vision. That's your testimony in the name of Jesus. When you will get that new car, it will be like you are seeing a vision. When you will leave this country to the new or the other country, it will be like you are seeing a vision. I knew that would be the loudest amen. Because let me tell you, it's going to happen. Some of you, God is going to gather you in Canada for New Bridge Canada. Some of you are not saying amen. Some of you is the United Kingdom. Some of you is Cameroon. Some of you is Ghana. Some of you is the United States. Why do you laugh when I said Cameroon? Let me tell you, God's land, no matter what you think about that land, even if that land is a desert, you will prosper there. He says, everybody read. And when they were past the first and second wall, they came into the iron gates that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. Nobody opened the gate. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, I know for surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where they were gathered together praying. You see, you get the kind of prayer you go do. The result will meet you and it meets you still praying. You know what the Bible is showing us here? You are seeing firsthand how a spiritual effort is producing a natural result. You are seeing firsthand how you can actually reshape the natural by spiritual tools. Say after me, I believe in prayer. That's why no matter what you say, you see this ministry, we go pray. We'll pray. You contend. You contend. You say, I will not stop. You keep on praying. Make it a lifestyle. You contend in prayer. Don't allow yourself to be docile. And shortly, you will see a change. So back to my story of Bishop Francis Waliuke. He said he kept on praying and one night, on the 189th night, did he hear the talk? On the 189th night. That, see, at this point, he told himself, God, one person will fall out. It's not me. It's not God. It will be the devil. Are you what I'm saying? Some people, that is what they need to do. You know, when we tell people, take God serious. If you know the kind of demonic installations some people are battling with. If you know the kind of battles, not all trees are the same. There are some trees we cut last, it just tumble. Some trees, when you start, you will cut, go and eat eba first. Are you following me? And keep on. If you know what some people are battling with, this is why you don't compare yourself with people. You cannot say somebody who is at level 15 and another person who is at level 15 too, they are on the same level. You cannot say they are the same. Because the guy from level 15 may have started at level 0. Some people, they are level 15, but they started from minus 30. Are you getting what I'm saying? they had to invest 45 units to get to 15. This one invested only 15. And you say they are the same. This one is 15, this one is 15, but this one is stronger. You don't compare people. You don't know where they are coming from. You don't know the battles they are facing. You don't know the spiritual battles. Some people, they need to pray. press, all kinds of things. A family where half of everybody is an occultic member. You know your battles are different. You cannot. I was listening to, as I round up, Dr. Dike Olukoya. Some people criticize Mountain of Fire. That pray. We don't usually pray die. Even though it's there, there's time to bring it out. Amen. But he said people criticize him. He said, if you know the family he came out from, you will pray more than him. He said, a family where every week there is a funeral. That you don't know, in the family like this, you don't know who's going next. That you wake up like this and see somebody's leg times 10 of the person's head. Nobody needs to teach you that there's a supernatural realm. You will see it firsthand. Every week you are reminded that there is a supernatural realm. So a time came where it was like rotation. You know those kind of families that every month at a certain time or every year at a certain time, somebody will be struck. So when they are struck this one, they are struck this one. That year was his own turn. Like the roaster. He said he saw the thing coming. You know when sickness is coming, you can feel it. It's coming, you say, come. He said, this thing. He started falling sick. He said, in the sickness, he began to do 3 days dry fasting with the sickness. I'm not saying you should do it though. That one, they have some matter does not need that. Are you with me? His matter. He said he did 3 days dry fasting to the point where it was like taking tablets. Just he said he will do it, he will come out, he'll be fine. The next week you relapse. He will come out, he'll be fine. Next week he will relapse. So he said, okay, you know what? Let's be going. A time came. He said, nobody taught him. He said, die. Bye bye fire. You see the way they pray? Violent. Die. There are some things you will see. Learn it now. Learn how to be violent in the spirit. Learn how to be violent. You wake up and say, akatapa. Sleep catch you. You pour water on yourself. You say, Jesus, prayer. I will pray this prayer. I'm telling you. And I'm telling you this not just as a teaching, but as a prophecy. This year, beginning from today, take it as the word of the Lord from me. Pray like that. The Lord told me some days ago, he said, for the remaining part of this year, pray like you've never prayed before. He said, an explosion is coming. He said, an explosion for you and the house of Newbreed is coming. But pray like you never prayed before. Hold it. Some days you'll be tired. You may sleep off, stand up the next day. Are you with me? Ataparakate. Asata. By all means, I cannot fail. Jesus. I cannot fail. I cannot be stranded. I will fulfill my destiny. Jump on your feet right now.